And we pray that it might be meaningful to us. We pray that it might be something that will help us to make the right changes that we ought to in our lives as we journey from here to eternity. Thanks to Brother Branch, to the leadership here at Northwest, to the leadership committee, because they truly love me to give me such a wonderful topic. Now I'm just proud they picked me for this one. So as Tim Smith would say, you can't talk much, you gotta get busy if you're gonna get through this, because there's only a little while left. I'd like to also take my hat off to those who spoke earlier today. And I truly take my hat off to the two rams that we have that's coming after me. I'm just going to try to shake up the dust just a little bit and then leave room for them to do what it is, whatever it is that they need to do. But the topic assigned to us, it had to be love to give me a topic like this, is entitled Aiding and Abetting the Enemy. Now, I had heard that on TV, but I had not paid as much attention to aiding and abetting the enemy as I did in the last few weeks. But I paid a lot of attention to aiding and abetting the enemy. I've been even looking for ways that I aid and I abet. And I've been looking for ways that you aid and you abet. And we might be aiding and abetting and don't know that we're doing that. Hopefully, we'll find some changes and we will make those changes to go in the right direction. Scripture text that we were given, 2 John 9, 10 and 11. 2 John 9, 10 and 11. And one thing for sure, we know that John didn't waste any time talking to those who were not a part of God's family. So whatever we get there is not to them, it's to us. And so when we read things like this, we got to say he must be talking about me. It must be that I could fall into this particular trap, or the Holy Spirit never would have taken the time to write this in the book. So therefore, I need to pay close attention. But John writes in these verses, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If anyone come to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deed. So, you know, normally I go to Google and I say, what do these words mean? So we looked up the word aiding. Aiding, to help, to assist or support in the achievement of something, to promote or to encourage. Abetting, now that was kind of a big word for me, abetting. To encourage or assist to do something wrong. Ooh, that was powerful. In particular, to commit a crime or other offenses. Now y'all know we read enough Bible to know that we can be offensive to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible said don't grieve the Holy Spirit, so we can be offensive to him also. So you see here we're talking about a crime greater than the one that would get you into Attica. We're talking about a crime that will take you all the way down under to Australia. Well, now, if you want me to change, Tim Smith already introduced it to hell, the hell words, you know. You got it? We're talking about a crime that will do that for you. And then last, enemy. one who is actively opposed or hostile to someone or something, a thing that harms or weakens something else. This is the enemy. So when I look at our text, aiding and abetting the enemy, our text in essence is helping, assisting, encouraging, or supporting the opposition in achieving their goal. Amen. And so the question that pops up before us, do we walk around here and are we helping Satan to achieve his goal? Now we front seat setters. You know front seat setters? I know y'all got that. It doesn't have to be correct, but did you get that? You see, we're on time, folk. You know, we unlock the door and we lock it, you know. We do all that kind of stuff. But are we helping, are we aiding the opposition in achieving his goal? Though the church at the time when John wrote was standing firm and walking in truth, John did not want to take anything for granted because he realized that a church standing is just one step removed from falling. A church standing is just one step removed from falling. Now, I've done a little statistical data, and there's only 1,368,000 members of the Church of Christ in the United States, and that includes those who are not faithful. That's on the roll. That includes one that's not faithful, and that's less than a half of 1%. Now, the statistics is worse in the world today, and the question I'm asking is because we're so small. Now, everybody told me thus far we got the truth. That's what they say. They say, we got the truth. You see, Florida got the oranges, but we got the truth. You see, so therefore we're saying that, but when we look at this, what are we doing to change this? Because this number doesn't look right. Because the population of America is roughly 320 million. The population of the world is roughly 7.3 billion. And we're looking at 1,368,000 and just a little over 2 million in the whole world. And if we were to draw a graph and put it on there, we wouldn't even be a gnat's bleep on that particular line. So the question is, am I aiding? I call myself a preacher. But am I aiding and abetting the enemy? 42% of us in here tonight called ourselves preachers. 13% called ourselves elders, deacons, and leading brothers. Now we're up to 60%, so we just got a few sisters left. But are we aiding and abetting the enemy? Are we helping him? Because the number of people, if all of us were to go to heaven, is going to be a scanty few. But I get the feeling that God's not going to take me if I don't make some changes. I get the feeling that God's not going to take you if you don't make some changes. Therefore, since John knew that the church was just one step from falling, John didn't hesitate to issue a reminder. In his reminder, paraphrasing, John said this to the Christians then and to all the Christians now, and we're paraphrasing the same verse that we've just read, but John said, whoever goes beyond the limits of the teaching of Christ does not have hold of God. And I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about how weak and how nimble my spiritual knees are. You see, I can't stand up by myself spiritually. I got to have somebody to grab onto me and pick me up just so I can be able to make it down the road. And he says, if we go past the limits, we don't have hold of Christ, so we can't even walk. You see, the church then was walking in truth, but if we don't have it, we can't even walk. And he goes a little further in the paraphrasing. He said, anyone who keeps the teaching of Christ keep hold of both the Father and the Son. Now, that got pretty, because you got Jesus on one side and the Father on the other side holding you up if we do the things that are written here. He goes a little further and he says, if anyone come to you and do not bring the teaching of Christ, do not welcome them or admit them to your house. For if you give them a friendly greeting or wish them success, you become an accomplice. You become an accessory. You become an assistant. You become a co-conspirator. You become a partner in their evil deeds. So we asking here tonight, are we all us glorious children of God? Have we become partners in the enemy's evil deeds? Not by what we do so much as we do by what we fail to do. Are we so caught up in what's going on? Have we found ourselves co-conspirators just helping the devil to do a better job? So we ask the question, could we be partnering with the devil knowingly or even unknowingly? But either way, it's wrong. It doesn't matter if we're doing it knowingly, and it doesn't matter if we're doing it unknowingly, but either way, it's wrong. Some form of the word enemy is found in the Bible at least 388 times. I wonder why he put it in there 388 times. He must have been trying to tell me you got 388 chances to help the enemy out. See, it's in there at least 388 times. And in at least one of these instances, all of us in here were once enemies ourselves. Amen. Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 10 says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only were we once enemies, but he even goes further and he said, some Christians, you know, some that name the name Christian, are enemies of the cross. Some Christians are partnering with the enemies, sitting on the front row and partnering with the enemies. Philippians chapter number 3, the verse numbers are 17 through 19. It says, brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. Now I'm wondering, can I tell everybody that sees me, note me because you have me for a pattern, or am I partnering with the enemy? I'm wondering if you can tell all of those that you have influence over, note me because you have me as a pattern following Jesus, or are you partnering with the enemy? He goes a little further. He said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. I've always wondered if we actually understand what in the world God is talking about when he starts talking about spiritual things. Have you ever thought about that? Because some of us think spiritual is jiggy. You know, we think if you're not moving and jumping and kicking, you're not spiritual. But I say spiritual is mental. And if we're not mentally there so that we're driven to do what God has called us to do, we're not spiritual at all. Now, we may be religious, but Paul said that on one occasion. He said, I receive that you are very religious, But he said, though you're very religious, you still got an altar here to the unknown God. And may we have an altar here that nobody else can see, but still it's to the unknown God, because we're not doing it according to what thus says the scripture. You see, we need to pay close attention to that. Preachers, elders, deacons, and members of the body of Christ, did we miss any? Preachers, elders, deacons, and members of the body of Christ, did we miss any? Have we too set our minds on earthly things rather than spiritual things? Have we too set our minds on earthly things instead of spiritual things? Spending too much time, too much of our time, doing our own thing is aiding and abetting the enemy. Spending too much of our prosperity on things and not giving as we should to support the Lord's mission is aiding and abetting the enemy. I want to tell you something about that. You know, God starts at 10%. Folk with a house full of kids ought to be given 10%. Rest of us ought to be working our way to 25%. If we don't do it, we are aiding and abetting the enemy. Now, we need to go away. If you don't do it, repent and start tonight. And a lot of us, you see, we don't have the kids anymore. We just got us, but I'm buying stuff that I want instead of supporting the mission of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the day of today that I need to start doing that. We need to take that 401k, you know, the one you're going to have 2 million left when you die so your children can fight over it. You need to put 25% of that on a ticket and send it to the Lord's house and go on and earmark it, because folk in the Lord's house not smart enough. Go on and tell them that at least 50% of that has to go toward the mission of the gospel, the saving of souls. You can't spend it on carpet and pews. Other than that, we're aiding and abetting the enemy. Could it be possible that we think we are spiritual when actually we are earthly and carnal? Could it be possible that we think we are spiritual when actually we are earthly and carnal? Could we be too caught up in our Christian comfort corner that we are co-conspirators with the enemy and don't even know it, thinking we are spiritually safe and marching for the master? Could that be happening? There's always a need for a restoration movement. If there wasn't a need, we'd have more than 1,368,000 members of the Lord's church. Not Christian, members of the Lord's church, if there wasn't a need. Always a need for the restoration movement. Are we actively involved in such a movement, or are we aiding and abetting the enemy by sitting back and letting the enemy that is, teach his destructive doctrines without us rebuttaling at all? You see, they bringing folk in. If you don't believe it, ask Joel. Joel bringing them in by the tens of thousands, and we're just sitting back on the premises. Not on the promises, but on the premises. And when we do that, we are aiding and abetting the enemies. We have several tools that we ought to be using daily to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which will hinder and discourage the enemy instead of aid and abet the enemy. You see, if you teach the gospel of Christ, Satan gets quiet. He will even whine. You know, over there in Job, the gospel of Christ, the power of God, made Satan whine. But instead, no rebuttal, we just sat there. And we got to get up and shake it up. Turn it upside down. They did it then. They're more. If 12 did it then, 1,368,000 ought to do it in a few weeks now. We got to get serious. You see, there are tools out there. And, you know, I got a book here. And it's not the best book in the world, but it's a good book. It even teaches lazy folk how to convert folk. And that ought to fit right in here. Now, I don't know about y'all down here, but my folk up there, they dead lazy. I've been asking for 105 minutes a week on studying to help save some of the soul, and they stand up every Sunday and they confess. I just couldn't find 105 minutes. And I bet y'all got some of the same folk down here that don't put up 105 minutes working to save soul. Now, when I said five, you weren't supposed to say five. But anyway, some of y'all may not like this. It's called muscle on the shelf. Yes, sir. Now, there's a lot of other stuff out there. Yes, sir. But this one's good for lazy folk. Yes, sir. And all of us ought to run by some because most of us lazy. I know y'all won't want to run me off. I'm not going to shake my hand, but that's all right. But you see, we're lazy. All you got to do is give up one lunch a month, buy one book, and give it to a person. And when you do that, we give it to 12 people a year. And I came up with a plan. 3 in 3 for 15. Let me tell you what it is. If 500,000 Christians, that's 35%. You see, that's all come faithfully. 35% come faithfully. 35% come some of the time. 35% don't come none of the time. Now, that's how it happened at my church. What about y'all? How do y'all's numbers look? If you're not keeping up with it, you ought to pay attention, you see. But if 500,000 would convert 3 people in 3 years, teach those 3 people to convert 3 people, and it went on for 15 years, we would save 180 million people, which is about 65% of the American population in 15 years. All we got to do is get to work. If we don't do it, we are aiding and abetting the enemy. Some of us could buy 100 of these and give them away today with some of that old stale money that we got left over. You see, here's what we got to understand. If I don't do nothing, I'm helping the devil. You see, we think that I got to go cuss and I got to go clubbing. Yes, no, the devil got us. We sitting right up in here, not worth a quarter. We sorry. And what we doing is we helping him more than we ever would if we went to the club. So all of a sudden, we're worse than the folk in the club because we're holy and nobody else going to be with us. We're going to hold ourselves right to a devil's head. Aiding and abetting the enemy. Doing nothing is aiding and abetting the enemy. Not giving is aiding and abetting the enemy. And by the way, God has never given us a mission. You know, we always talk about we poor, we can't get this done, we don't do that, and we look backstreet, you know, we're not out there with everybody else. God has never given us a job to do where he has not already given us the resources. If you don't believe he's given us the resources, you go out there and sell all the cars in the parking lot tonight, and you'd have enough money to build any kind of gospel of Jesus Christ. God bless you and keep you.
Aiding and abetting the enemy. Wow. Brothers and sisters, that just says we need to get busy. God has given us a great mission, and we need to get busy accomplishing that. Thank you, Brother Cedric, for that most powerful lesson. Our next speaker of the evening is Brother William Rudolph from the Hickory Street Church of Christ in Greenville.